welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene, a podcast that takes you on a journey across Nigeria and Africa to explore the country and the continent's diverse and vibrant culture. Our esteemed guests will share their experiences and insights into the local tourism scene, from hidden gems to must-see attractions. So grab a cup of coffee and join us as we see the world with Ajala Nene. Whether you're planning a trip to Nigeria or Africa, or simply want to explore and experience the continent from the comfort of your own home, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and let's explore Nigeria and Africa together. Yay! It's travel time! Welcome to the Wanderlust Wonder segment on See the World with Ajala Nene. If you're looking for your next travel inspiration, you are definitely in the right place. Let's uncover another amazing destination together. Our spotlight today is Ikom Monoliths in Cross River States. Mysterious, ancient, and awe-inspiring, the Ikom Monoliths are Nigeria's own stone hedges. Scattered around Cross River, these carved stones hold centuries-old inscriptions and stories, waiting to be uncovered. Are they relics of an ancient civilization? Or spiritual symbols? One thing for sure, they are a must-see for any explorer with a taste and thirst for history. The mystery of Ikom Monolith is one that keeps us curious. History lovers, this one is definitely for you. Stay adventurous, and I'll catch you on the next Wanderlust Wonder. No, welcome everyone to See the World with Ajala Nene. And today I have one of my, you know, I like to introduce everybody specially in their own way. My name is Clara. I think I met you when we were in TCF, Touristy Consultant Forum.
Yes, that's where we met.
I think you were like the chairman then, and we had to work a bit together.
Yes,
that's where I remember you from. Okay. All right, so Clara Chinwe Okoro is the founder and chief operating officer at the travel tech company My Beautiful Africa, and she's also the executive producer at Brown World Media. She's an accomplished TV host, international resource speaker, multiple award winner, and an entrepreneur like me. She's the chairman of Brand Journalists Association of Nigeria. With her passion and focus on promoting digital transformation in the travel, tourism, and hospitality sector, she hosts the annual Tourism and Tech Summit, which I have attended at least, I think, two or three editions.
Yes.
So this is the question I usually ask my guest. Why tourism? What made you enter into the industry? Did you study it, or did you, like most people say, bump into it?
I think it's the second one. I bumped into it. Okay. So it was basically during my trips when I was still running my TV show, you know, and I had traveled extensively. And I just realized that Africa was underrepresented on the global stage. And the light bulb went off on a trip at Gambia when I saw all the beauty around me, and it occurred to me that it was intentional for the West to keep Africa under wraps.
Intentional?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
It was basically their wealthy folks who come here on safaris and holidays.
Okay.
And the average Westerner travels within their own vicinity for their typical holiday.
Yeah.
And because Africa was a gem, I'm sure the wealthy, in quote, because of their class system, doesn't want to share this beautiful gems with the average ordinary citizen.
So that's why you now started your My Beautiful Africa. I like that name. Why did
you
choose that name?
Because in all honesty, I don't know any other continent that has beautiful landscapes like Africa does.
We have the sun, we have the wind, we have the everything.
Beautiful
the culture,
white sand beaches.
Food.
The food, the vibrant colors and everything.
That's why the royal family will come to Africa. Go to
Absolutely.
To come and spend their holidays, because they want the sun and
like
the beaches.
I told you, it's their wealthy. And they keep it away from the average, ordinary citizen who they encourage to travel within their own countries.
Yeah. And not ours.
Yeah.
Okay, so how old is My Beautiful Africa, and what have you guys done so far that has helped push tourism and travel within Nigeria and Africa?
So it's about 8 years now that the idea came up, but I, you know, officially registered it as a business in 2019.
Okay.
So basically we're about five, you know, going
officially
on 6 years.
Five,
yes,
six.
Officially. And the niche I took from day one was to focus on the technology aspect
of the
industry, because there's a huge gap.
Big one.
You know, and like I do say, if you're not on the internet, you're not anywhere. If you want to travel now and make your plans, the first place you go to is the internet.
I go to Google, Wikipedia, exactly. Or travel, all those are travel platforms.
Booking.com, Expedia.
Cool. Yes.
Exactly. So I just realized that people are not finding out about locations in Africa because they are not on the internet, you know. And then the infrastructures also. If I don't have good internet in a hotel where I am, I visibly will be very worried, because it's like I'm disconnected from every other thing.
Yeah.
So I felt it's my responsibility to begin to, you know, push what we call smart tourism in the African continent.
So can you explain more what smart tourism, for those who don't know?
So basically it's about infrastructure around travel, you know, where, for instance, if I come into a city, I can, from the airport, be able to navigate my way within that city, because I have the tools at my disposal to know, where my Google map will take me, you know, where the internet is very effective, the hotels that are more compliant with tech tools that would, you know. So when people have those information at their disposal, it makes for easy leveraging to say, okay, I get down at the airport, I know the apps I can use in the city to hail my cab. You know, I know the app I could use to book food if I want. I know, where...
Everything is in the smartphone.
Exactly.
Smart travel, smartphone. Then your media business, that's Brand World Media. What's it all about? How does it connect with your tourism?
So like I said, it was the flow from Brand World into My Beautiful Africa. I was on a trip to Gambia for Brand World. We had a conference, an all-female conference. And
what was it targeted on?
It was targeted at leadership, you know, female leadership, and the tools they needed to be equipped to effectively be deployed in their political ambitions. So I was covering it as a journalist for Brand World, you know, and I stayed in an Airbnb in Gambia, you know, and every day I took a walk because I'd like to explore my, you know, environment whenever I travel. And the flora, the fauna, the white beaches and everything was so astounding. And I'm like, you mean people spend money to go to the UK that doesn't have these things?
Half of what they have, not half of what Africa has.
I didn't even know this existed in the continent.
If not for Brand Media, you would have known.
Exactly. So I felt Africa was a brand that needed to be built and put out there. And so these beautiful aspects, with the help of the communications and advertising industry, could begin campaigns. Just like you have Incredible India. You have
Incredible
countries that...
India.
Exactly.
I never forget that song. Never.
It's that, you know, pictures fed into your subconscious that wants you to now... Like I keep saying, what the West has done is package Europe as a go-to destination through the advertising they push to you. And if Africa can do the same, we'll bring
we'll
in the
more.
Footfalls.
And I think we need more of the foreign exchange, because it's
supposed
to help us to help our GDP grow. Like I'm doing my master's right now in media and communications, and I'm focusing on tourism media. And what I'm discovering is that there's so much work that needs to be done when it comes to putting us out there, the promotion part, because countries in Europe that don't have half of what we have, they are putting themselves out there, and
you
we see them the way we have, and we're not even seeing it. Even we ourselves inside, We do a day inside the country, the continent itself. We're not exploring.
It's called engineering. They've engineered your mindset to believe that what you have is not worth it.
Mm.
And then they make their own destinations so, you know, appealing. Yes, it's subconsciously.
Oh, you get there, Fala, really.
It's concrete. Paris is concrete.
But they've sold their culture. They've sold their Eiffel Tower.
Absolutely. So to you, the beach in Diani in the south of Kenya
is not as fine.
Meanwhile, the Indian Ocean can never be equated to the River Seine in Paris.
You know,
the Indian Ocean is, in fact, it was one of the most beautiful places I had stepped on earth, and I didn't know it was in the continent of Africa.
You have a lot of collaboration to do to
absolutely
make this thing happen. Now, let me go straight to your tourism and technology summit. I attended last year's edition, and I loved how we're able to connect everything we do. Like, the legal aspect was very interesting. We're talking about IP and all these kind of things. We don't think they're tourism or tech related, but they are.
Yeah.
So can I ask, why did you start this tourism and technology summit? And how do you think it's going to help promote our African destination to the world?
Okay, so basically it was intentional for me to make Africans understand that technology is the new world order.
It is.
In every aspect of our lives.
Our life is here.
Absolutely.
On the phone, smartphone,
and
tech.
So we shouldn't keep making the same mistake with every shift the world does. The industrial age, we were still used to doing things the manual. We're going to our farms with the hoe when they were using tractors and everything to do mechanized farming. Now technology came again as the new shift, the fourth industrial revolution.
Yeah.
Would we be left behind again? You know,
we're trying to catch up.
Absolutely. And so we shouldn't make this mistake again. You've got a continent that has some of the most beautiful destinations in the world. If you don't market it, who would?
Who will?
You know, and so I felt it was, you know, an opportunity to make those operating in the system understand the power technology could use and leverage to push the continent as a go-to destination.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? In the aviation sector, it's crucial. It's moved on. You're actually talking about aircrafts that are automated and you don't need pilots to fly.
Yes, yeah, so you don't need oil, aviation oil to fly it either.
Exactly.
Electrical,
you come to your hotel, the softwares you use to check in, the ones you use for your restaurants, the ones you use to actually check the number of guests annually that you bring in and out, so the data helps you for better planning. And then you go into things like your tools, your Google Map I used to get here seamlessly without me. Immediately I left home, I went on it and it brought me here. That's conveniently great. So these are the things technologies are doing for companies. And if you operate in the system, I mean, in the space, and you're not using this technology, definitely those using it would have more chances of being much more competitive than you. You know. And that's why I felt annually I bring in those that utilize this technology and those that produce these technologies to come together, interface, and do business together.
Yeah, I think that's very important because, like you said, we can't be left behind. I had a guest before you and he's building a platform, a tech platform that can help with the financial gateway, financial connectivity for tourism businesses and also customer relations. And he said something, a lot of people are afraid to use it because, oh, tech, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I think it's the older generation that's behaving like that. It can be our own generation because we have to use this platform. So it's very important that people understand the importance of tech and travel and tourism all put together. So I know that you were part of the NESG team. I mean, I'm always so proud to say that because I know I'm part of the NESG travel team. That's the Nigerian Economic Summit. You were part of the info and data statistics
team. Yes, team, yeah.
I like that because we don't have data when it comes to travel and tourism, not just in Nigeria, in Africa. I can say maybe countries like, say, Ghana, South Africa have tried, Kenya have tried, because tourism is like their real, one of their real GDPs. What's your take based on what you did with the group? What's your take on the data for Nigeria and Africa at large, and how it can help us plan better for our industry?
Well, without data, you're almost in the dark, like we used to say in advertising. If you're asking a lady out or winking at a lady in the dark, you know what you're doing, but the lady can't see you, so she doesn't. So we're basically still grappling with the industry, because without data, you obviously cannot plan. You obviously cannot project. You obviously cannot totally understand the dynamics of where needs, you know, traction and where needs to be upended, to be able, just like we're talking about infrastructure now. Do you know the movement of people from Lagos into Abeokuta, into Ibadan, just because of the train system that was brought in by the Lagos state government?
Yeah.
It made a huge difference. So you don't have the quantity of cars now moving from Lagos to Abeokuta or Ibadan anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You have lesser, you know, challenges with road traffic, because people now moving with the train, which is basically what Europe uses as a big edge against other continents.
Yeah.
You know, so without data, it will be extremely very difficult to project, to plan, and to seamlessly have a graph where you can plot what kind of financial trajectory you want for your industry and how to achieve and activate it.
Okay, thanks for that, ma'am. You're also the director of media and communications for Women in Hospitality in Nigeria. Hey girls, how's that been, and how has that helped our industry? Like, basically, I know that it's focused mostly on hospitality, but hospitality, travel, and tourism, we're like sisters and brothers and cousins. Mm-hmm. How's your role been, and how has that been helpful in at least promoting the industry, especially for women? I think we have the highest percentage of women in the tourism, travel, and hospitality space that work in there. Yet, I think we're the ones with less opportunities for leadership. And I know that's where WIN comes in. What are you guys doing about it? And how are you using that platform to also make sure that our industry has more women representing the leadership aspect for us to grow?
Okay, yes. So I came in with this recent exco.
Welcome.
Thank you. But I can still tell you that I'm very much not comfortable with the level of information at their disposal about the powers they have within them and how it could be utilized to grow the industry. Just like we had the corporate communications director and chief of sustainability at Nestle come to talk to us. I facilitated that at the last International Women's Day for WIN, Women in Hospitality. We took a trip to Abeokuta, so we called her to come talk to us. And then she did mention something very critical. If you're not seen, if you're not heard, if you're not felt, you're almost invisible.
Yeah.
And so that's what she talked to us about, that it's appalling the data they have at their disposal. And it's the same thing we just talked about before this question you asked. Women are still at 0.00,
still that small. Figure.
Exactly. And
no, but I thought at least we'll have 1.0. Still 0.00.
At the leadership peak, it's worse. And then it's not really the men's fault. When these positions are advertised, nobody comes forward.
Why do you think that?
Because we haven't built our confidence to the point where we feel we can sit at the same table with men. Yesterday, I was also at a seminar, at TechPression, for the same IWD celebrations, because you know the whole month
the whole
of
month
March
is Women's Month.
And one of the speakers said something very crucial. If opportunities are displayed, for instance, advertised for a position, and a man and a woman sees this position to apply for, a woman would 100% be, qualified for that position. But because of imposter syndrome, she will be so worried that she does not fit the profile, and she will step down from applying. a man will have like 50% of the requisitions for that and will say, why not? I'll go for it. And he applies. And since he does have the confidence to defend that 50%.
He will learn on a job.
Exactly. And he takes on that job.
What's the solution to this, our imposter syndrome?
It's culture-based.
It's a problem for all of
it's
us.
It's culture-based. We arrived at that yesterday during the discussion.
It's culture-based. Like we are raising our girls.
Exactly. We are raising our girls the wrong way. You know, we need to make them understand that they're just two species of us as humans on the surface of the earth.
Yeah.
And what we have between our ears, which is the brain, does not, you know, differentiate between male, female, when it comes to tasks to be attended to in the corporate environment.
Mm.
So if your girl child wants to read engineering, wants to read mathematics, do not tell her she'll end up in the kitchen. Let her go for what she wants, because she might have deposited in her some of the solutions that the world wants.
Mm-hmm.
And because of cultural barriers, if you've already, you know, sequestered her and said you can't do this and made her feel
that
you know
not worth
yes
it. That she's in not in fight for it
in the schooling process, she begins to drift towards
what is for only females.
Exactly.
That's very deep, and I really worry about that, because if we're so much in the industry, I think about 85% women, and then most of the people on top are the men ruling the tourism travel, both international, so it's not just an African thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a lot of work that needs to be done. A lot of trainings that need to be done, and I'm hoping people like you guys and Wynn can do that and help build more confident women who can take leadership roles in the tourism, travel, and hospitality space. But well done. What you guys have done so far. So let's get into a bit personal. What are the three things people don't know about you?
I should actually say that I don't know about myself.
Wow, no. You've lived long on earth. You should know at least three things about yourself.
Well,
at least three.
It's really surprising, but I've got to think deeply about it, because I don't do a lot of soul searching in such areas.
Please, you should.
I'm extremely addicted to African food. Extremely.
So
and that's very funny.
You've got abroad, you're looking for African restaurants.
I used to spend as close to about 20 euros to buy a plate of, you know. So that's really a funny thing, because I could look for local restaurants here just to have a taste of
African food.
Yes.
African food.
So,
okay, that's
you know.
One.
And then secondly, I used to be very, very inclined to music, and I thought I would end up being, you know, a musical artist.
They have very beautiful voice. Ooh, look at that. Please, still explore it. Life is too short. Try it. God, maybe we need a single. Right. So the third one.
Maybe the third one is... I'm very family oriented, and I'm extremely worried about, you know, the breaking down of family values, and because it has adverse effects, eventually ripple effect on the society, it's become worrisome.
And the person themselves, because the people are now saying they don't want to get married, they don't have family.
Exactly. So those are the three things that can.
Okay, that's awesome. So two destinations, one in Nigeria, one in Africa. Which ones would you tell people to, like, they must go to in Nigeria and Africa?
I know
you have plenty, but just pick for each.
In Nigeria, I think Abeokuta is a very interesting
place.
The histories, the histories behind certain locations is quite very interesting.
Okay.
You know, and
in Africa, which country?
I think Kenya for me. You know, yes.
Oh, really?
The south of Kenya.
Why south of Kenya?
Because
I know we call our own states. Do they call their own states?
Counties.
Which county are you in? It's in the south of
Diani.
Diani.
Yeah,
we
Mombasa.
About I've not been to Diani or Mombasa. I've been to the capital. What's the capital?
Nairobi.
So it would be nice to go there. Why do you say
beautiful.
That?
Beautiful. It's beautiful. I never knew it existed until we went there in 2018. 2022. Mm. It was incredible. No, 2023. Mm. You know, because I went as a speaker to one of their marketing
events,
trade events. Yes. Mm. And they took us around the country. And I'm like, I think there's a gap. We are not projecting Africa the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know.
So when we Africans even now see those places, like, wow.
Exactly.
Even when we see in this Nigeria, the place we say, oh, is this Nigeria? Hey, exactly. Really?
Exactly. So I actually mooted an idea to them, which is part of what I'm pursuing. I'm doing the documentation that we need to work with the advertising industry as a CSR project.
Yeah.
You know, we go do shots of locations, and then package them
and show them to the world.
And show them to the world with the internet.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Digital, I mean, right now, digital is free. So let us use it until one day they say no more is free. Let's make most of it. All right, ma'am. So to wrap this up, what advice do you have to anyone coming into the industry, the tourism, hospitality space? Those of us already there, what advice do you have for us? And our veterans, what advice do you have for them?
So, you know, it was until I got into the industry, I was targeted at the spectrum. The industry is so huge and versatile.
Broad.
Exactly. You have the tours, you have the like the technology aspect, like I mentioned, you have the transportation logistics, you have the aviation, you have the reality, the Airbnb,
you have tour guide.
You have the
total.
It's huge. Yeah. So
you can take a lot of spaces.
Yes. Take one niche if you want to focus. Or you take 2-3 niche, combine it and make a company that would focus on those units and then serve your client base.
Okay, that's what people coming in, right? That's the advice you're giving them.
Exactly.
Look at the ecosystem. Like when I first came into the industry, I was like, everybody wants to be a tour operator, I want to be a travel agent. I was like, everybody cannot be a tour operator. There's so many other things that you can do. I'm going to start looking into the industry. So there's so much. There's logistics, there's feeding, there is tour guide. There's more than just tour operator.
You know, I took a course 2 years ago. There's this lady who works for the UN to train women on procurement.
Mm.
Do you know how huge procurement is?
Yeah.
In the hotel industry.
I'm not going to be so. Oh, that one. I'm not.
Do you know to I'm supply not, even if it's just the food
the travel
items,
chains.
If it's just their bed sheets, if it's just their you know
the creams, the perfumes, and all those things that they put inside the toilet.
It's
huge. You so there's know, so much. Okay, so then we are already inside. What advice do you have for us?
Training. I keep saying
you can't
learn,
stop training. You keep
you unlearn.
Like
you
I said, relearn. I'm doing my masters now and I'm relearning so many things that I can see, oh, the industry, we can do this.
Absolutely.
I never thought of it before because, of course, I wasn't training myself. So I get you. Keep training.
Exactly. And Africa is still, to a certain degree, virgin. So the opportunities are huge. Yes.
Okay, that's it for us. So for the veterans, those who have been there, those who started this road for us, what advice do you have for them?
If they are smart, they need to leave legacies.
Mm.
So you can't go with your experience.
You can't die with it.
Exactly. So look for ways to pour out those knowledge to the incoming generation. So your name could be put in history as one who contributed. Write a book, have trainings, leave a legacy, build a hub, train people, you know, get funding from international bodies. Use your name as a goalpost in the industry that this person was able to create impact. Because I always tell people, the likes of Tony Elumelu, until eternity, will be looked upon as a man of impact.
Yeah.
It's the impact you leave in a space that makes you successful, not what you have in the bank.
You're very, very right. So to wrap this up, thank you, Madam Clara.
My pleasure.
Thanks for being here. And thank you guys for listening. See you at the next edition.
With that, we conclude our journey across Nigeria and Africa on See the World with Ajala Nene. We hope you enjoyed exploring this journey with us and that you feel inspired to discover its unique beauty for yourself. Thank you for listening. For your feedback and comments, feel free to hit us up across our socials at See the World with Ajala Nene, and you can find me personally at Ajala Nene on Instagram. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring Your journey and your adventure awaits you.